This call may be recorded.
Hey.
Anne.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Yeah?
How are you doing?
I was just asking you if you have a Tinder account.
I think I had one for a few days just to see what online dating was like and what I would be in for if I had to do that, which is basically not in for anything because it is awful.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're on the hookup platform, but I said, do you have an account?
I had one I deleted.
You didn't sound very sure about that the first time I asked.
I thought you only asked me one time, and I just told you the answer.
No, I asked you, and you said, I think I had one for a few days, and then went into a long side explanation that didn't clarify whether you were certain that you had one for a few days or whether you think you had one for a few days.
Well, I don't remember if it was Tinder, but I had an online dating account to see what that was like, in which I purposely did not have any online dates whatsoever. I think I only had one person that acted interested, and I told them specifically that I wasn't interested in doing any sort of dating.
Yeah, but I think the part that's not clear is your level of certainty that you deleted it. I think that's,
After a few days, I went through and deleted them, but I got that verification code, so I'm confused if you reactivated it or what?
You say I deleted them. I don't think it's clear to me that you have any certainty that you deleted your account. Because
yeah.
I've asked you, like, many times, to have an account, and I'm not getting a clear answer. I'm getting an I think.
What makes it confusing is you just sent me a verification code for it, so I thought it went away. I don't know.
I know, but you're
a
saying
verification code for it now.
You're saying went away, and it's just not
reactivated.
It's just not clear to me whether you have any certainty that you deleted it. That's you've not.
My understanding was that I deleted it.
You feel sure that you did?
I feel 100% sure that I thought I did.
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming you were aware or figured out at some point that it's a hookup app, right?
I think there's people on there that use it for that, and there's people on there that use it for dating.
Right, but you're aware that there are actual reputable dating services.
I also signed up for, what is it, Christian Mingle. I didn't find it that much better, to be quite honest with you.
Okay. Well, it's, I mean, yeah, it's better. You know it's better. However, that I think that tells you that you are thinking about being with another woman when you've when you've never even been alone before. You know what I mean? We're not talking about a scenario where it took you 2 years to get over me, and then it took you 2 years to realize that you would like to be with somebody, and then it took you 2 years to adjust to, you know, the idea of figuring out what kind of person you're interested in. You have an idea that if you were divorced, you would be looking to remarry. Which tells me that you don't want to be alone.
I think you're making a lot of assumptions there.
No.
Yeah, you are, actually.
Well, no.
Yes, you are.
No.
The entire experience told me that I want nothing to do with any of that, so...
Oh, absolutely. I get that the online thing was a stupid idea, but I'm saying the fact that if there was a person in real life, I mean, you could probably name 5 people you met at Honey Lake who you'd be interested in getting to know better. That, I'm not talking about whether you'd be likely to find your next wife.
I would not date somebody from Honey Lake.
That's not funny, and it's not okay for you to say that. That's not true. You're a liar. You don't need to lie about that.
I would not date somebody from Honey Lake.
That's not true.
Best idea ever.
That is not true, Dustin.
I don't know. I'm not interested in dating anybody,
That's not true.
Why are you calling me to argue about who I would be interested in dating? I'm not interested in dating.
Because I I think you're approaching this conversation from the standpoint that I want to get back with you and I would be jealous that you want to date somebody else. And so you need to let that go because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about...
I didn't say that.
Okay, well, I don't need you to keep, like... making excuses for why your interest in online dating is the opposite of your interest in online dating. I'm not accusing you of wanting to online date. I'm saying...
You're lying.
Huh?
I've accused you of lying several times already.
Oh, the lie was about Honey Lake.
Can you hold for a second?
Sure.
Hey.
Hey.
Hello? I'm sorry.
Hi.
They called me.
Who called you?
CA.
Oh. Yeah, I only said live because I know that you would date people that you've met in real life this year.
No, Aaron, I wouldn't. I'm not interested in dating anybody.
That's not true. You might not be interested because you're pursuing me, but that's completely different than having a conviction that you want to live single for the next 50 years. You see what I'm saying? I recognize.
Eight.
What?
I want to be with you. You are my wife. I don't want to be with anybody else who's not my wife. Right.
That's not what I meant. I meant that there was a time when you were able to recognize that being with me was outside of your control.
Well, it's still
you probably
out of my
still,
control.
Exactly. So recognizing that being with me is outside of your control. I'm not saying that now I think you desire that I divorce you so you can date somebody else. I'm saying now I have a recognition that you have a capability of thinking about you having a new life after divorce. You're capable of contemplating that as a possibility.
Okay. I think your assumptions about my desire or ability to date other people are incorrect, but not sure.
I didn't say that you have a desire for that. I didn't say that you have a desire for that. And I didn't even say that I know that you have the capability.
You have met people this year that you would have an interest in dating.
That you would. I'm not saying you do, but I'm saying you would. I can see that you don't want to be alone. The fact that you would think that being divorced means you need to find a new partner. It shows me that you're a person who doesn't want to be alone. That you think, you know, like when I told you that I thought that divorcing you meant that I was just going to be single forever. That's not where your brain is or has been.
I don't know.
You didn't, I mean, I guess I got the impression after our counseling session Thursday that you and I don't have any future together. Was that how you felt?
I mean,
hello?
I said no. I mean, the only reason I go to this counseling session.
What? I can't hear you. I'm not getting any audio. It's like burr.
I said no, honey. The only reason I go to our counseling sessions, the only that I'm still going at all, because I care about you and I desire to restore our relationship and have a godly home that blesses you.
Yeah, but none children. Of the things, but and, none of the things in the, but none of the things in the session reflect any of that. There's nothing you said the whole session that.
I think. I disagree.
I didn't hear you say anything that reflected love or concern for me. You said terrible things about me, and I can't continue to put myself in the situation of you taking really good things that I've done for you and really, really good, strong, courageous, brave, honorable things that I've done for our family and our children, and have you twist them around into something that's distorted and ugly. I couldn't believe I couldn't believe how you misrepresented me caring about our family while you were at Honey Lake enough to ask about why you had checked into Honey Lake, and you tried to make it out that I harass you and constantly badger you about your suicidality and make ridiculous demands and won't let it go when you've been the one to bring it up every time. And you were bamboozling me into trying to think that the only reason you were at Honey Lake was to work on your personality disorder. Like, it was fair for me to be asking the questions I asked for the sake of trying to help our family. And instead, you told Matt that I was harassing you nonstop about suicidality. That was terrible. I can't continue to expose myself to that kind of distorted lie about me. And this week, I couldn't believe that you were making such an issue about, one week she wants me to come over and fix things in the house, and then the next week she won't talk to me at all, as if I'm this completely erratic, bipolar, unpredictable, on again, off again, on again, off again. And I didn't spend an hour and a half explaining to you in great detail how our phone conversations were affecting our children, and me having the intelligence, the courage, the fortitude to put the boundary in place that's going to protect our children from having a screwed up childhood like you did. Like, these are,
you understand
these,
that that's
these
a different issue than me
no,
being present at our house and doing things to serve you and spend time with our children that is obviously edifying for them. Like, that's got nothing to
no.
do with you and me talking on the phone.
I think that it would be awesome.
And as far as
I think it would be awesome if you and I were able to accept that our marriage isn't going to work, and we were able to have a peaceful co-parenting relationship where it would be normal for you to come and help and do things, and it would be normal, you know, for you to actually care enough to schedule time with the kids on the calendar, and for me to know that your behavior at drop-offs and pick-ups is going to be safe for them to witness. Like, those would be some things that we might actually be able to work on in counseling.
I wasn't trying to say also, and didn't say, that you were harassing me at Honey Lake.
You did.
When I got to Honey Lake,
you nonstop.
Did most 100% definitely suspect that I was there for suicidal ideations because of your conversation with Brianna. And so you were absolutely fishing for me to tell you that.
No. It wasn't because I needed you to admit that. It's because you were trying to tell me that the whole reason you were there was just to work on our relationship. And that dishonesty ended up being really tough. Yeah, you did. You did.
No.
You told me that many... Yes,
no,
you did. The
you
whole
asked
reason,
me over and over.
The exact
why?
The whole reason I'm here. You would say, that's the whole reason I'm here. That's the whole reason I'm here. You said that phrase many times.
No, Aaron, you tried
yes,
to fish
you did.
Repeatedly
no.
to get
yeah,
me to tell you I was there
because
I was suicidal, and I told you
it wasn't
comfortable
I
talking
to get
about
good on
that.
Me. But I wasn't, I know, but you were lying and saying the whole
I didn't
reason
lie,
I'm here
Aaron.
I told you I wasn't comfortable telling you. That's not a lie.
I understand, but you told me the whole reason, which would have been fine if you were just there to work on that and not there to try to lure me back into a relationship with you. If you were honest with me and you said, Aaron, this is my journey, it's my privacy, and I don't want to talk about it, that'd be fine. But when
I did say that I wasn't comfortable saying while I was there.
But you, no,
until
you didn't.
Asked
then you
me 100 times.
No, you were... You are lying right now. You leveraged the fact that you were at that facility. You leveraged the fact that you were at that facility repeatedly to try to lure me into thinking that you had this that high of a level of commitment to working on your personality disorder. And that was the only...
Nobody
the
there
only
actually thought that I had a personality disorder, so that
I understand,
was
but
not
that
even in the cards. At that time, or even in the vocabulary at that time, but I was 100% there to work on our marriage.
No,
that's not inaccurate.
That's not why your mom. That's not 100%.
Yes, it is.
Justin? No, it's not. It's
yes,
not.
It is,
that was not.
Aaron.
But that's not fair to me to think that you were a healthy, well individual who went to them humbly.
Nobody
said. And
said that I was 100% healthy or
I
wouldn't be at a
clinic. Please stop interrupting me. We can't do this if you're not going to hear what I have to say. I have one thing to say, and I've had to start over 4 times. I have one thing to say. Please let me say it. It is not reasonable for you to interrupt me in the same thing every time. If you need to get out a piece of paper and write notes about what you would like to say to me later because you're scared you'll forget it, then get out a piece of paper. But it's not my fault that you don't want to hear me.
I always wanted to hear you.
Then don't interrupt me.
Okay.
The dynamic that was occurring was that you were there for some extreme mood disorder problems. And in 30 days, that's what they needed to treat you for. They can't take a man who's suicidal and say, listen, you're never going to get better. You're flawed at the core. You won't ever be able to love somebody. Like, they can't do that because then you turn around and kill yourself. But if you went there a well man who had zero PTSD, like you did in September when I recommended you go, zero depression, like you did in September when I recommended you go, zero anxiety, like you did in September when I recommended you go, zero suicidality, like you did in September when I recommended you go, then they would be able to work on these underlying issues that I was telling you you needed to work on. But when you go there for all of these mood disorder problems, and then you want to convince me that you're in an emotional state and you're presenting symptoms consistent with what would be able to receive treatment for deeper underlying issues, then I am being bamboozled into a place of thinking that it is safe to speak to you on those terms and thinking that it is safe to speak to your counselors on those terms. That was not the case, and it is not fair to take a woman who is in as vulnerable a position as I was in at that time and have her operating with a system that is that powerful and that financially advantaged against me without me knowing the facts that everybody else in the equation knows. Asking me to enter that situation with you knowing something and Nathan knowing something that I don't know is manipulative towards me and is not protecting my heart and my mind. So if you had said to me, I'm here for me, I have stuff I don't want you to know about, I need privacy while I work through my issues, I would have given it to you. But when you're calling me nonstop and saying, I'm only here to work on our marriage, I need you, I can't work on this if you don't tell them about how I'm manipulative. That's not really honest, because I don't know that you lied to them about all our phone calls when I was in Cape Cod and you were planning a trip to Belle, Florida. If I don't know that, if I don't know that they think that I took all your liquid assets, so you now have no money, then that's not fair to me to have to talk to them with them knowing a lie that I don't know that they think that lie. If I don't know that they think that I maneuvered behind the scenes to get you out of our house and in a hotel and homeless, and I don't know, like, those are all really villainous things for a woman to do that would actually cause a man to have PTSD and would actually cause a man to want to kill himself. And so it's not fair for you to act like, oh, yes, I came here and I convinced them that I'm the villain. And I told them that I'm the villain. And I told them all these terrible things that I've done to my wife. And I told them that I need help so that I don't keep doing these terrible things to my wife. I'm just here to get to the root cause of all my issues that have caused me to be so bad to you. Tell me that to lure me in, and nobody tell me that, no, you're actually there because everybody knows you want to kill yourself because your wife did these horrible things to you. So for you to frame it to Matt like I am meddling, or like I won't give you your privacy, or like I harassed you, or like I wasn't sensitive to your emotional vulnerability, it tells me that you are not a safe person for me to communicate with about anything, because you take every good, honorable, intelligent thing I do and twist it into something that it's not, that makes me look really bad.
I'm sorry that you're hurting, Erin.
I'm not. I'm
sorry that...
I'm not.
Okay.
I'm not hurting, Dustin.
Okay.
I'm an intelligent
talk
woman.
Because you said a lot. Yes. You said a lot about me that I didn't think was an accurate representation, and I don't want your view of me to reflect things that are inaccurate.
But I'm not.
But
telling
before
other people
I address any of that, I would like to first address you. That's my wife that I love and care about. I am doing the best that I know how to get us through this. And when you say that I've done things that have hurt you or haven't navigated,
I don't say that. I never
well,
say that.
I
never say that. This is not
about
my hurt.
Can you not interrupt me also? Can you not interrupt
I'm
me?
I'm going
to
interrupt you every time that you tell me this is about
can
my hurt.
Can you interrupt? Can you
every time.
Not interrupt me?
That's fine. Then don't call me hurt anymore, because that's not what this is about. You know what it takes to get me to not interrupt, so don't say it anymore.
I told you when I went to Honey Lake very early on, after multiple inquiries from you, I was there, that I was there, I was suicidal. That occurred before your conversations with any of my therapists. It occurred before we had regular, ongoing conversations with one another while I was staying there. And I told it to you out of vulnerability because you are my wife, and I want you to know me as a whole person because that is what I was experiencing then, and it was challenging. But the reason that I was struggling in that way, because I was feeling hopeless about addressing these issues between us, because we can never be on the same page about a lot of things. They're not. But my intent, my ever-ending goal for what was over 40 days, I forget how long I was there, all of my interactions with my therapist there were not centered on stopping me from being suicidal. They were all centered at my intentional direction on finding out why, when I have conflict and cognitive dissonance in our experiences, and the reason that that is a concern for me is that I care about your heart, and I want to be a good husband for you, and I want us to live in peace, and to be able to love one another well. And that is why I asked them to have you involved, and that's why I asked you to try and be involved.
I know, but that's why I needed you to be honest with me.
So I have worked with a lot of professional psychologists at this point, and I have raised the specter of my mother's history of dishonesty and the allegations that you make against me of being dishonest. And I have, but that is a primary concern of mine and what I need to explore to try and get to the bottom of some of what's going on. I don't know the efficacy of all of their stuff, but I do know that they work with a lot of dishonest people. And
they give them drug tests to compare what the person is saying to reality, which means that they can't just ask somebody and know if they're lying.
Drug test.
And for you, they won't bother to compare anything to actual data. Because you're not on drugs, so you seem reliable.
I don't think they base that on drugs, honey.
Then why do they give people drug tests?
Well, a lot of people that go there are there to rehab.
So why don't they just ask them, did you use drugs this week?
They do.
Since they, then why do they bother with the test? They could just tell by asking them whether they're telling the truth or not, right?
I think they're familiar with people on drugs lying quite a bit.
Then they would know by asking them. You're not dealing with people who have seen what was actually happening. You know what I'm saying?
I do, and that is specifically why I told them.
Yeah, and I'm saying that's why
my
I
my wife.
But that's why I needed
to
know all the lies you had told them.
I mean,
that was necessary.
If you think I tried to, I'm on the phone. Sorry. No, you're all right. All right. I don't know what. Oh yeah, I mean, I went through the entire process trying to be as transparent with them as I knew how to be. I was.
No. You told them that I knew that you were going out of town overnight in July, and I was mad about that, and I was calling, that I kept calling you over and over. I called you over and over, and that was why you blocked my phone number, but you immediately unblocked it the next morning.
That's not what I told them.
That I took all our money. Did you tell them that you took
all our money?
Did you tell them that you're the one who transferred all the money into a secret account from me? How is that not what's in their notes, but it's in their notes that I took all our money?
Told them that you took $60,000.
You didn't tell them that we paid back a loan that was overdue? I just don't get it. Yes, it was. It was a balloon. It had ballooned the year before.
I have the
amortization schedule that you wrote out, and it had a balloon on it.
Yeah, and at that point, you negotiated doing with the money.
You mean the negotiation that you made under false pretenses a few weeks before?
False pretenses.
Well, you didn't tell my dad how much debt you were in when you went over to his house that night. I don't think it's right for you to go around telling people that I took $60,000 of our joint assets.
I said you took it out of our checking account and used it to pay off a loan that we had negotiated to not pay off at that time. I didn't
say
anything accurate about you at all, ever. But
you're acting like that loan wasn't due, and it was. It was due in full.
No, it wasn't.
It was. Oh. It was. I'd spoken with the creditor that morning. It was due in full.
Spoke with the creditor who was your dad, who had already negotiated to extend it out
no.
for years and years. It was supposed
no,
to be
you,
30 years amortization and grouped together.
No,
with
you talk. I know, but you had talked to my dad just weeks prior to that, and you didn't tell him that you were in crazy debt, and you didn't tell him that you were missing payments left and right, and you didn't tell him about all the high interest rates and all the late fees. That's something every creditor. I know.
Okay.
But you
well,
know
I
that
know.
As a creditor, so, he deserved to know all of that. You know that. You knew when you were talking to him that any creditor deserves that information if they're going to make a decision like what you were asking him to make. It's wrong for you to get somebody to enter into a 30-year agreement. Well, you should have told him. You should have given him in him the full information that he deserved in order to make that decision as a creditor. And as soon as he had the information that every creditor deserves to have, he made a decision to ask for it back as originally agreed. There's
okay.
nothing
never
wrong
said
with him
anything
doing
about
that.
That
he
to
was
me.
Well with
He never said that to me.
Know.
He said the amortized
He did
over
not know that you
years.
Were not well. He
so.
Did not know that you were not well in the head in relation to paying bills and managing credit. You now recognize that you were not well in the head in relation to managing bills and credit. He recognized it too, and he had every right to collect accordingly. And it is wrong for you to tell your lawyer that I took $60,000 to pay off a debt that was not due in full on that day. It's wrong for you to tell
That's
the court
That's not wrong.
That.
That's correct.
It's wrong. It is. It's not. It was due in full.
No, it wasn't. It.
It was. It was.
I don't care.
It was.
Doesn't affect equity. Like, it's just a fact. That's what happened. So
no.
And I told
no,
people,
I have,
and you're saying that
I
I'm
have,
lying. I told them facts. Facts are not
no,
lies.
I
told them facts.
No, I gave them the amortization schedule that you prepared with your own hands and you presented to the creditor and you agreed upon and is in writing, and it represents that the
several years old and doesn't represent the actual agreement. So it's
you mean
really
that
not relevant.
You went over to my dad's house and he had moved him a couple weeks before. Okay. This is what I did. You did. You went over to his house to get him to agree to extend it for 30 years without
really
telling
him. I didn't get over there to get him to agree to anything.
That's what
he offered. I said that would be great.
Okay. Well, I wasn't there for that conversation, but all I know is that it was due. It was well past due. You had missed many payments to him over the years since that it should have been paid in full. And
so
whatever
the conversation
was. He was
well aware of the
doing?
Fact that there were missed payments, and he's still energized it over 30 years for us.
Here, yes, but he didn't know about your missed payments to the other creditors. He knew there were missed payments to him. But the fact that he's extending you grace on something that was past due is not the same as...
It wasn't past due because we had already agreed that we would revisit it on the date that we did.
I think you're in a grace period at that point because it was past having been due in full, and he's just...
Fourth grace period. It was by agreement between the two of us. It wasn't.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, I did a good.
Something
I,
that
I
we had agreed to.
I can't keep doing this. I can't take me doing good things, really honorable, really brave, really righteous things, and have them twisted by you in this way to psychologists, to lawyers, to judges. Like, you're just not a safe person for me. To know that my honorable efforts are going to be represented honorably. I can't keep doing this. I can't live this way. I can't live.
As far as I know, in this conversation, I haven't misrepresented anything. So
I guess my problem is you feel about
what?
your perceptions of my good behavior. Make me sick.
I haven't represented any of my perceptions about your behaviors. I've only stated facts of what happened.
No.
I've got no problem with what you
I disagree. Did. I disagree that you going to my dad and getting him to say that you don't have to pay what was due a year ago and that he'll extend the grace to you.
It wasn't due a year ago because we had already had an earlier agreement to extend it for that year.
You mean a conversation?
And we had already had an earlier agreement
to
revisit the amortization on the date that we did. So when you say it was due a year ago,
That's not true. You didn't go over to Dad's house because it was a date that you had already established on the calendar to revisit anything.
We established a time period to discuss what we would do next.
And I feel like I have been really, 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 really good to you. And really supportive of you and really graceful towards you and really loving towards you regarding your suicidality. I don't feel like I harassed you or badgered you or any of those things that you told Matt that I did. You didn't have to tell me anything, but...
I didn't say that you harassed me or badgered me.
That's what you told Matt.
I said that you asked me over and over again, needling me for the answer, and I eventually gave it to you, which is exactly what happened.
No, that even after I knew about it.
Fine.
That after I knew about it, I brought it up constantly. That I've been continuing to do it since January. And I haven't. I haven't. I
don't remember saying that you brought it up constantly, but you have brought it up, and I'm okay with you bringing it up. I'm not okay with is you bringing it up and then acting like I can't talk about it.
Well, the only The only time I remember ever bringing it up was to set that boundary, and that's reasonable. I'm not saying that you're not allowed to talk about those feelings, but I'm saying for you to actually kill yourself is not okay. That's something that is wrong. That's something that you as a father...
You actually said that I'm not allowed to talk about it or you would divorce me.
Well, if you're talking about it in terms of... If you're talking about it in like normal ways of like, I don't know how I can go on. I know that I need to, you know, get this through this for my children. I know that my children need me and I seem so hopeless. Like, those would be normal ways for you to be talking about your feelings. But for you to say it in terms of, nope, you're not getting any child support. No, you don't get to tell me what to do. It's my decision. Well, that's too bad. That's what I'm doing. Like, that's not okay. We need to be on the same page that it's not okay for you to kill yourself. That's not an okay thing to do. That would be a bad sin against your children. It would be a bad sin against me, and it's wrong. It's wrong. It's a sin against me. It's a sin against your children. It's not okay in any scenario.
Well, I don't get it.
So I'm not trying to
hold that over your head or talk about it at all. I'm not interested.
I know,
in that,
but if you're going to make a commitment not to do it, and then later you want to say that you're struggling with following through with your commitment, that's fine. Lots of people struggle with following through with their commitments. But everybody in the world makes a commitment not to kill themselves on the day that they become pregnant or make somebody else pregnant. Because you aren't the only person in this world who relies on you for provision and nurture. So that's a commitment.
I think if you're going to leave me, I'm not going to have an actual relationship with those kids. You probably need to find somebody that you actually want in your life to do better. You know?
And those are things that we can talk through. Like, what level of involvement is right for you, and like what would bring you the most satisfaction with your kids, and what amount of time is going to work with like your work schedule, and those would be healthy things.
No, Aaron, those aren't healthy.
To be able to think about
a mother and father to raise their kids. That's what's healthy.
For us, it hasn't. I mean, for 7 years, it hasn't been. So, all things considered, you can't say that.
That's just me. They need a father in their house, not some pretend father they barely see and their mother.
I know, but that's what it's been for 7 years. They've barely seen you.
They saw me infinitely more than they see me now, so I...
They saw you infinitely more...
See a father that lives with them.
They saw you infinitely more in November and December. That's the most time they've ever spent with you. And I thought that was really healthy. Other than what I consider the abuse that was happening at drop-offs and pickups, the time that they were spending with you and actually having your undivided attention was really good.
Aaron.
I can't be with you. It's not good for the children. What you did on Easter, you're not capable of seeing how dysfunctional your Easter behavior was. And I think that's what you've been trying to tell me all along, is that you're not capable of seeing it. And if you're actually not capable of seeing...
I agree with you, and I apologize about that.
Yeah, but it shouldn't have taken 6 hours of back and forth for you to get to this point. It shouldn't have taken trying to misrepresent the situation to CA and tell him that I had an agreement with you beforehand. Yeah, he said that you told him we had
an agreement.
Aaron. We didn't. You asked if you could come over.
I texted you asking if I could come over to shred it.
And I told you you could, but that doesn't mean that we had this pact that I wouldn't look at them. Like, you're twisting it into something else by making it
a big
contract
that
I
didn't think that we had a pact that you wouldn't look at them.
That I reneged on. Then there was no agreement. I said, yes, you can come
there
over.
There was an agreement that I could come shred the papers. That's the agreement.
Yeah, but there was no promise that I wouldn't look at them first.
I never said that there's a promise you wouldn't look at them first.
So you acted like I was changing our agreement. Oh, she said I could shred papers, and then I get there, and all of a sudden I can't shred papers. Like, is that kind of misrepresentation of me to third parties? No, but you could have. There was no reason you couldn't have shown them to me. I wasn't doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, you acting like this somehow had something to do with me reneging on my offer to let you shred them is absurd. And you've managed to talk about this for probably well over 6 hours, making all kinds of absurd defenses of your behavior. That was...
I'm not talking about it for 6 hours. And I'm
indefensible.
Not my behavior.
Talked to me about it for extended periods of time on 4 occasions. You talked to CA about it for an extended period of time. You talked to Matt about it for a pretty big chunk of our first counseling session. Like, I don't want you to deny that talking about this and you defending your behavior on Easter has taken up a huge portion of our lives. That's not the same as you on Easter looking at me and saying, wow, I can't believe I got that bent out of shape about that. I have no idea what is wrong with my brain and my heart that would make me behave that way towards my own wife and make me do something like that in front of my own children. I'm really sorry, and until I can figure out what the heck is going on with me, I'm, as much as I want to be with you, I'm going to have to stay away from your house because I love Simon too much to risk damaging him any further. What?
Instead of just giving you the papers.
Yeah, but you understand what I'm saying? There's a difference in you actually looking at the situation yourself and seeing your abuse for what it is versus needing many people to spend extended periods of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, where you go every which way trying as hard as you can to make your wife look like the bad guy in the situation.
Aaron, I'm not trying to make you look like a bad guy.
Yeah, you are. You're telling me that I reneged on an agreement that we had. You're telling me that I was unreasonable for wanting to see inaccurate information. Like, all these things that distort my character into something the character's not. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. You said over and over. It's
unreasonable. I just said that it's inaccurate information.
No, you said that I was unreasonable for wanting to see inaccurate data when I had already been given the accurate data. Like,
I didn't say that you were unreasonable. I said that I gave you accurate info, and this was inaccurate info.
No, you said that it was unreasonable for me to want to see it.
I never said that that's unreasonable.
Yes, you did. Yes, you did. That's the whole point of your argument. Your argument to me, your argument to VA, your argument to Matt, your whole point was that it made no sense for me to arbitrarily demand that you had to give me inaccurate data when I already had the accurate data. Now you're trying to convince me that you didn't...
different than saying that you're unreasonable? Like,
no.
You're not equivalent.
No. No, you definitely were representing me as unreasonable. And
well,
I know, but I had still went through the trauma of having to deal with EA and Matt and you. Like, it's terrible that you ever had a thought in your mind that you should make Aaron be the one at fault in this situation. And then it's terrible that
make anybody at fault in any of this. I'm just trying to help us get along.
No, it is not helpful for you to represent that your actions on Easter were reasonable because your wife was doing something that made no sense.
Okay.
That's not helping us to get along, but that is showing us your true colors, your true heart, your character, and what behavior we can continue to expect from you because it's consistent with the behavior that we've seen from you your entire life. And right now, you're not even owning what you've put me through in having to get you to the point of admitting that you're... No, you're trying to say, can you not see that that's not the equivalent of calling you unreasonable?
Yeah, those are different. But regardless of that, I'm sorry I didn't show you the papers. I'm sorry that we had to have the conversation. I'm sorry that I didn't agree with you earlier. I'm sorry.
But what about CA?
I'm so sorry.
What about CA? Why would you make the whole argument to him?
Because that was my view of the situation, and I apologize that it wasn't the...
That's my concern, is that you're a person who would ever...
That's your concern.
...view a situation in that distorted... Like, that is really concerning to me.
I can understand.
To have somebody... That you have such poor judgment... That what you were saying to CA made sense in your own brain for more than 30
seconds. Everything that I
said
to CA was accurate, so
no, it wasn't, Justin. It wasn't.
What was inaccurate?
That I shouldn't have wanted to see the papers.
Okay.
That is not a reasonable analysis. Any human would make of the situation, but you fully believed it and you fully expected other people to buy into that.
I'm not trying to get anybody to buy into anything.
Yes, you fully expected people to go, she shouldn't be snatching papers from you. That was your expectation, was that people would say your wife shouldn't snatch papers from you. She didn't have the right to just make demands like that on you. That made sense in your brain. And that is concerning. Because that means that you're the kind of guy who can rationalize abusive behavior like what you were exhibiting that day. And that's what's going to drive the decisions you make, is your distorted, entitled ways of thinking.
I'm sorry, I didn't.
What?
Oh,
I know, but you're only ever sorry about when you've not only gotten caught, but you've had to try to defend yourself for hours. Like,
that's not true. I totally understand that we should have, I should have just given you those papers to begin with and didn't have to talk about it. But they had no data on them, and that would have given you security to know that they had no data on them, and it would have been a more loving way to deal with it. I was too frustrated and short with you to have that patience and show you that care, and you deserve that. I'm sorry.
I'm also concerned, though, about how you take stuff like that and then try to blame me for it to other people.
I'm really not, Aaron. I'm just trying to explain the situation so that they can help me understand what I'm different. I don't ever want people to have a bad opinion of me. Care about you.
Yeah, but in your own brain. Those things are in your mind. It's in your own mind that I should not have given the money back to my dad. You're representing that to people.
I don't have a problem with
that.
I think I had taken that amount of money and made a decision with it, so I don't have a problem with that. So I guess that part is
That's not true. You've run up $150,000 in debt.
I didn't charge $150,000 for a transaction.
Decision nonstop instead of just one day and then telling me about immediately. You hit it for years. Hold on.
Yeah, so I think most people would say
that yours is worse.
It doesn't matter. I'm not mad at you about that.
It matters. It's in the court document.
That I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at you. It's in the court document.
That I took the money? Not that I used it to pay off a debt, that I just, like, disappeared it. That's on public record right now without any context or any explanation. That's public record.
Sorry.
It doesn't hurt me, but it should break your heart that you would do that.
That I argued with you about those papers, and I'm sincerely sorry that it was completely that I did it.
What?
Sorry that we argued about those papers. Thank you. my effort, all of the various, like, calling me professional that I'm interacting with, in that take. If I'm making mistakes along the way and learning how to do that, I don't know any better. I'm not trying to like it. Don't like it.
Hey, Dustin. Hello. Hey, I actually wasn't able to hear. I wasn't able to hear a single word you said.
Oh. Oh, I said a lot.
I couldn't hear any of it. You know, let's cut out.
Well, I'm sincerely sorry that I didn't give you the papers up front. I'm sorry that Simon heard that there was a problem and had to experience that. I'm sorry that we argued about it so much that I didn't have your point of view earlier on.
Yeah, but this perception thing that...
The entire point of all of this, like, logical professionals that I've interacted with for months now, it's not to paint you in a certain light. It's not to make you into the villain. It's not so that we can go back to the lifestyle that we had before, which I think we were both dissatisfied with. I am doing all of this so that I can learn how to love you, care for you in a way that you'll love and care for, and I'm not trying to make
things the way that we've always done it. I'm not asking you, but you know I'm not like that. I'm not asking you to make me feel loved and cared for. This isn't even about that.
I'm not saying that you're asking me for that. I'm saying that I want you to do that because I care about you.
I know, but what you need to focus on is not that. What you need to focus on is not destroying your children's lives. Like, I'm just trying to protect them from you. And you're missing the boat by thinking that I need some kind of emotional junk here. Like, don't emotionally fill me so much that I'm enjoying your love so much that I'm willing to stay with you even when you're destroying our children. That's not helpful. I don't need an emotional anything at this point. I need you to have a commitment.
And I'm destroying our children how?
By your behavior in front of them. And your erraticness and your inability to make long-term plans that are best for them. Like, you just told me that if I divorced you, you know, they're going to need a different father. And, okay, but that's so insanely different from what, you know, you were making a stink to your coworkers about how children need to get back and forth between two different houses every other week in order to be healthy and well, knowing perfectly well that that's not the case.
Well, that's probably the best thing to be trying to cope with, but I don't really agree with.
What?
If you're going to be a divorced couple, or
what?
Probably is the best thing to do.
What? I can't hear you. What?
If you're going to try and parent kids for a couple, that's probably the way to do it. But I.
Yes, but you have to
convince that they would be better off with a real father that you can really get along with.
Yes.
And care about our kids.
Yes.
I would want them.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But what you were doing in November and December damaged them psychologically. With you doing your big, I miss you kids so much. Daddy's so sad. I've just been so lonely and so sad. That's called emotional incest.
I don't say that to them.
You did.
I said that I miss them a lot, which was true.
No, you told them you were sad and lonely on Halloween before you went to Bethlehem Marketplace. You're here at our house.
I don't recall that. The only time I told them that I was sad that I recall was when I...
It doesn't matter if you recall it. It still changed their brains. They're never, ever going to be children who didn't experience their dad telling them that their dad is lonely. Your recalling it doesn't have anything to do with whether they experienced it.
Okay, then I'm sorry, I don't.
So I'm saying what I'm looking at my children, and I have extreme concerns that they're not going to be able to have healthy adult relationships. They're on a path to destruction. And so my focus in all of this is trying to figure out how to model healthy relationships for them in a way that's going to give them half a chance in life. And you're so fixated on getting me to feel your love, which is counterproductive to the actual goal, that you're missing all the collateral damage.
I mean, that's my goal, too.
I know, but for you, it's like secondary.
No, it's not. I think that the way that you show them a healthy relationship
was,
is by loving and caring for one
primary,
another.
I know, but if that was your primary goal, then you would start with a commitment for them to not have to grow up knowing their dad killed himself. That would just be like a commitment to not kill yourself. That would just be like building block number one of thinking about your children's emotional health as adults.
I wish I could make that commitment.
Yeah, you could. You can have a fear that you're not going to follow through on your commitment, but that's got nothing to do with you making the decision. It's no different than quitting smoking. Like, you can choose to quit smoking. You can set a quit date. You can get the products to help you. You can tell other people. And the fact that there are people who slip, or the fact that not everybody gets it completely right on the first try, is no excuse for not making the commitment in the first place. You can
think that that's
about
a huge burden. Like, it just makes it worse.
No.
No. It does. Now I have the additional burden of I want to kill myself, but I've promised that I won't, so therefore I'm screwing that up.
Yeah.
I don't need that additional
burden.
Doing
what I want to do, that's not an additional burden.
That's just a foundation. It gives you
right.
No, it's just a bedrock. It's a bedrock of, okay, this is not an option, and I'm really struggling with wanting this right now. What am I going to do with the disparity between my desire and my commitment? That's something worth struggling with.
Thing that just makes me want to do it more.
No. Then you're not thinking about your children.
I think it's debatable whether they're better off with me in the picture or not.
Talking about your level of involvement post-divorce is a healthy and reasonable conversation to have. And there's all kinds of...
I also get the impression that this is all about... I don't know. I feel like you want this commitment so that you can go ahead and divorce me. Like, that's the primary rationale for
no.
you getting me to say that.
No, except that last time I filed, your reaction to me filing was not good for the children. That the way it all... Yeah.
I don't remember that.
The fact that you weren't in a state of mind that I could even talk to you, the fact that you were filing false statements about me in court, thinking that somehow something terrible was going to happen if you didn't get 50% of the custody, like, that all was not really, really stopping and going, okay, what does this look like from a child's perspective? Okay. Is there something that might be a better arrangement for this year versus something that will be a better arrangement 2 years from now that we could make a gradual transition into so that it's not shocking to their experience and their sensibilities? Like, none of that was coming into play for you.
That's not true. We had lots of conversations about that. But I don't know. I guess I don't understand. You and me, we talked about how the holidays might be different. But I guess I don't understand what that has to do with it seeming like you want me to commit to this so that you could be comfortable divorcing me.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Well, I can tell you I will try.
I'm telling you I just don't feel like your motives in all of this are centered around your responsibilities as a father. Seems like
well,
your motives
are.
In all of this are centered around getting your emotional needs met from a romantic partner.
Uh-oh. Well, I disagree with that. I think there's an actual debate about whether they're better off with a fake part-time father in their
yeah.
life.
Or how about both?
How about both what?
How about both? How about I marry somebody else who's whatever, able to model stable adult relationships for them. And they don't have to wonder why their biological father didn't care enough to be there for them, too. Maybe they have both. Maybe they have a lot of love. Maybe they get to see a lot of healthy adults.
Okay. Well,
but I wasn't even.
Number one, I don't know that I can go through that, and number two, I'm not sure that would actually be good for them. Seems like it would be potentially not good. But I think
telling
y'all try and
okay.
do that.
I think it would be okay if you went and started a new life.
There's nothing less okay about that, also.
For the kids, I think that I could I think that I could make that work and make it be okay.
I understand that that's what you want at this point, but I don't think that there's, personally, I don't think that there's a scriptural basis for any of that being okay.
Mm-mm.
I don't think it's okay for us to get divorced. I don't think it's okay for us to get remarried.
I don't think it's okay on your end because you have been engaging in destructive behaviors in front of them. And so I agree that the divorce would be wrong on your end, and I agree that moving on with your life would be wrong on your end. And I affirm that killing yourself would be wrong on your end. But the solution to that is not saying that I have to stay married to you because marriage is right. Like, on my end, I have to do what I have to do to protect my children from the person who's in sin. And that divorce, in, as far as I'm concerned, would be on your conscience, and you would answer to God for it. Because I don't think that you grasp the extent of how much you have been selfish and feel entitled. Like, I don't think you know how different things would have to be in order for us to be together.
Would you like to tell me?
I don't think I can. I mean, have you quit smoking?
I want to be that.
So, I just... No.
No, what?
I don't get that. I don't get that.
Okay.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
Don't get that I want to be dead?
Not really, no. No, not really.
Sorry.
I mean, if that was how you felt, then I don't really understand why you're fighting so hard for your right to hide paperwork from me. That's not consistent with saying that you want to be dead. If that were the case, I don't really understand why you're fighting so hard to get somebody else to believe that I'm arbitrarily...
Can I clarify for a second?
Yeah.
Are you saying that you don't believe that I want to be dead?
I'm saying that your behavior is not consistent with that. I'm saying if you were
I was feeling frustrated with you about those papers because you had started, like, not communicating
right.
with me or answering my calls, so it was evident that you were feeling... Again, more serious about divorcing me, and then I felt like you looped me into bringing papers to shreds so that you could get them from me and squirrel them away, which is basically what happened. And that was frustrating.
Right, but you understand, you understand that that behavior is not, those concerns you were having are not consistent with your being ready to just lay it all down and let it all go and not fight it anymore.
No, because just because I want it to be dead doesn't mean that I don't have some sort of a modicum of self-respect that somebody shouldn't trick me into
self-respect
doing something to take
advantage
of me.
Wow, I can't believe you just said that.
Well,
you think that your behavior was self-respecting?
I felt like, first of all, I want to be clear. I'm talking about my frame of mind when I brought those papers over to shred them and you took them from me. And I felt like I represented that I could do one thing, but we're potentially trying to get, I don't know, evidence or something from me to divorce me, but didn't tell me in advance. And
how would that be evidence, Dustin? It doesn't even make sense.
It's just a money-wasting, complete waste of time, because all you're going to do is take false information and try and...
That doesn't make sense, Dustin.
That's why it didn't make sense to give you the papers. I gave you the accurate papers.
Do you think that you have paranoia?
No, I don't. Nothing that I'm saying didn't happen. You actually took the papers, and actually I didn't shred them. That's not paranoia. That's what actually happened.
Well, but you understand that they wouldn't have gotten confiscated if you had shown them to me, right?
Well, I have no way of knowing that now, but it, regardless
Dustin,
of that...
Whoa.
It doesn't matter. The papers had meaningless info on them.
Exactly. So how would they be used against you? Like...
That doesn't mean you can't file them in the court and say that they have... I don't know... What you could... Or... You could possibly say anything about
it. To me, that's not consistent with somebody who's ready to lay it all down. And I say this because I am a person who actually did. I actually was ready to let go of my life, like, probably 25 years ago.
This has nothing to do with, like, I'm talking about emotions of what was happening in that moment. Like,
okay, and then I guess what I'm saying is your moment-to-moment emotions are not consistent with your long-term goals. You are erratic, and you do things that don't make logical sense except within the framework of insane emotional reactions that cause you to think things make sense in a moment that don't make sense to people who aren't having those same chemical hormonal brain disturbances that you're experiencing.
That's true, then I need help.
People who aren't feeling what you are feeling cannot intellectually come to the conclusions that you're coming to based on your emotions. That you are completely, completely convinced that you are right on an intellectual level.
I'm right about what?
You were completely convinced that that was a righteous behavior. And it was only caused by your fear and your... You spent weeks telling people that what you did made sense. You didn't spend weeks saying to people, I behaved erratically and scarily and unpredictably and creepily because I wanted to be in control because I was having, whatever, frustration or unreasonable
anxiety.
That's
because they didn't have anything to do with that. And there's nothing to control. It seemed like things, though. It was frustrating.
No, you were controlling it.
There's nothing to control. The data.
Yeah, you wanted to control whether I was able to file them in court. You were trying to control.
That's just an example of what you could do with it. I don't know what you're saying.
Okay, well, whatever it was, you were scared. You were clearly scared that some bad thing would happen, and you were clearly acting on that fear.
That thing did
wasn't rational.
Everything get credit when they should have been.
There's no should have, Dustin. Do you not see that you're reverting to defending indefensible behavior again right now? Can you not recognize how frustrating this is for me to 10 minutes ago think that I am safe and secure in having a man who absolutely believes that that behavior was destructive, and now I'm suddenly stuck on the phone again with a man who thinks that that behavior is justifiable? Do you not see how unsafe you are? What?
Something is justifiable.
Well, then why are you trying to tell me? I know, but you're also trying to act like it wasn't based on anything.
It wasn't based on anything?
Yeah, but clearly there's a reason that you're doing these rash things. Clearly there's a reason that you're able to get your intelligent brain to think that these completely destructive behaviors make sense. But they don't make sense to other people.
I'm trying to get
and I don't think you are, Dustin. And I'm not. Also, I'm not. I'm just not. I'm not okay with all the stuff that you've said about Aaron and Jackie and Matt and CA. Like, I can't trust somebody who thinks that way. Our last phone conversation, I said, you said that they hold themselves in high, they have such high opinions of themselves. And you said they do.
I don't think that's a problem. They're elders.
No, listen. Listen. Can you listen? You said they do. In fact, they have such high opinions of themselves that they have conflict amongst themselves. And then an hour later.
Poor people. I think that's natural.
Please don't interrupt. Please don't interrupt. And then an hour later, when I repeated to you, you said that they have high opinions of themselves. You said, I never said that they have high opinions of themselves.
Okay. Well, I don't remember that. But
you did.
I think they have high opinions of themselves.
Nominated themselves as elders. I'm not talking about that.
What?
I was giving an example of how within one conversation I can direct quote something that you said an hour ago and be told that I'm making it up.
You know what?
I
wish my memory
like
was better. I don't think that my memory is that far out of normal. I don't think it's more than a standard deviation away from a normal person's, but I'm not trying to confuse you or myself. I'm just giving you my actual recollection. So to the extent that I get that wrong, I'm sorry. I really am. But
it's not safe for me, though.
I think getting wrapped up in that, if you get...
But that's my whole life, is you saying something, and then when it's not convenient for you to hold that opinion anymore, you say that you never said that. It makes you a really hard person to have a conversation with. You just flip around to whatever's advantageous for your argument in a moment. So 1 minute, it's advantageous.
I think
for
you're
you to
overstating
represent.
That. I think you're
no.
overstating that. I think my con-
no,
I think my I think my no. opinion about the way the elders view themselves has been fairly consistent, and you have a disagreement with me about that. But it,
and I'm saying that the whatever it is, whether you think they have themselves in high regard or whether you don't agree with that statement, either way, the way that you respond to really wise, really godly, really righteous people being willing to help you tells me that you are not a safe person for me to be with.
Well, first of all, we have three elders that have said exactly nothing to me since I know that they all know that I was in Honey Lake for feeling
right.
suicidal.
You're not recognizing.
So when you say that they're godly people that care yeah. about me and love me, they yeah. have literally no regard for my mental well-being in the time
do
period
not,
since then.
So you don't
Yay,
see them on
exceptional.
You don't see them. Do you not see them on the floor in tears? Do you not see them on the floor in tears, crying out to God for you?
No, I don't.
Do you not see? Do you not see
that? Literally,
do
don't
see
say anything to me.
But do you not see
that? How I'm doing?
Jason,
they haven't asked if they can pray for me. They haven't.
They do so. They pray for you all the time, Dustin. But the fact that you are not safe for them, and the fact that they are wise enough to know that you're going to take the words they speak to you and twist them to be used against them, like, that's the last communication you had with them, was to take their words and try to
twist
them against one another.
I think it's false to say that I twisted anything. I
you
represented
did.
Things that were said to me with perfect fidelity. And the, when you conceptualize it as twisting it, you're saying that, oh, well, you asked them independently, and therefore that was wrong.
No.
It's still what they said. It's still their actual opinion. Like, hey.
Yeah, but you didn't handle it in a godly way. You didn't handle it in a way that honored the fact that they are making big sacrifices in order to be able to offer these kinds of opinions to you.
I think that's
you didn't honor you didn't honor them at all. An honorable way to handle it would be to say, Jackie, this feels so different than what Aaron said. Can you and me and Aaron get together in a room?
Oh, I absolutely said that to Jackie.
So, yeah, can we get together in a room? Not can I write an email that is 4 pages long that points out every discrepancy and send it to my wife so my wife understands why I don't trust any of you anymore. Like,
I never said I don't trust them anymore.
Yeah, you did. It was called a declaration of
independence. I said that I would have to make my own decisions because they give me advice that is different from one another with equal amounts of sincere commitment that their way was completely the best way to handle it. It just
yeah. But okay. I feel like we've been over this and over this and over this. You already know the points on which they were in agreement, and you already know the points on which they didn't need to be in agreement. And nobody ever expected you to follow their advice on things that they hadn't made a group recommendation to you about.
They really did
never
expect me to follow their advice, but it...
No. No, you were going to them independently about what you should do with your court case, but that wasn't something that they as a team
had
said.
Some of them actually
had...
came to me and offered
exactly,
that advice.
Exactly, but that's not something. That's not something that they as a team were making a recommendation about. They as a team were saying that
there
you...
There were, like, many teams. There was a team of two of them that had an opinion. There was a team of... one that had a different opinion, but
the
representation that they can't care about me today, other than CA, who interacts with me quite
thank
a lot.
You,
have a
you live with him, Dustin. You live with him. You live with him.
Yeah, I think CA cares about me. I think that the rest
other
of the elders
can't.
Haven't said a word to me that I was suicidal. And the idea that they somehow have my best interest or any interest in how well I'm doing, it's just bizarre to say that. You would say, hey, I know through our word of mouth that you were having suicidal thoughts. Can you talk about that? Or are you
wow.
doing better?
You really
or want to, anything?
So now you really know how to leverage that, huh?
How to what?
You really know how to leverage that, huh?
What?
Suicidal ideation. It's something that you can do, and bam, you get $18,000 from your mom. It's something you can do, and bam, you're talking to your wife on the phone about reconciling. It's something you can do, and bam, the elders have to pretend that you're a safe person for them to talk to because you're not going to distort their words and their character. Wow.
They don't that have to do
powerful.
Anything.
That's
I'm just saying that they
said.
Didn't.
But you're not recognizing that you're not a safe person for them to talk to. You're not recognizing the danger.
Evidently, I'm not a person for them to talk to at all.
They would love to have a relation with you, Dustin, but you have some things that you...
They don't talk to me at all.
I know, because you should be the one going to them. They don't owe it to you to go to you when you're the
I'm not saying they owe it to me. I don't feel
okay.
like anybody ever owes me anything.
You
I'm
like
just saying...
You said if they cared about me, they would say, hey, I heard you're suicidal. And they would be just ignoring the fact that you're dangerous to them.
They might say it's something else. I'm just saying they...
Right, but if you went to them with a repentant heart to confess your sins against them and to find out what you can do to contribute to rebuilding what you broke in your relationship with them, and you find out what restitution they need in order to have security to talk to you again, then they're forgiving people.
Well,
but you're acting like they owe it to you to put themselves and their families in harm's way just because you decided you want to harm them.
In harm's way, how, actually? Like, I haven't put anybody
because of what
in harm's way. I've only pointed out discrepancies in the advice that they gave me. So it's not clear
that's
to me.
Not true. That's not true. You've disparaged them in so many ways. I can't even count.
Literally locked up for like 40 days.
No, you were not literally locked up. You were using that first to build a case against them. You were taking common things that less honorable men in other church leadership bodies do to other people that is harmful to other people, and you were perfecting your vocabulary and you were perfecting your way of describing that, so that you could, in three sentences or less, get everybody to think that you're a victim of church abuse. That's what you did for 40 days. That's no kind of locked up. That's no kind of loss of power on your end. That's you gaining
I didn't research other people's situations and craft mine to represent them. All I did is tell people what happened to me.
No, you were up to midnight smoking with them. And no, it happened to them too, and you got to hear their story.
Up till midnight smoking with who?
With the other people who have similar stories to you.
Nobody else had that story.
That's not true. Tell me again that there wasn't anybody else who thought their church leadership meddled in their marriage. Go ahead, say it again.
There was nobody else who thought that their church leadership meddled in their marriage.
Really?
Really?
So what was the church leadership's role?
The church leadership role in what?
In the breakdown of the marriages of the other men who you were with, who were going through divorce.
Only one that could be peripherally related to what you're suggesting was there was a pastor there that had an inappropriate relationship and his church found out about it.
He was the only person there who was going through a problem in his marriage? Separating?
No.
Okay.
There were other people that had, pretty much everybody had a problem in their marriage.
Okay.
But they didn't have...
You're saying their churches didn't know about it?
I
church. Other churches knew about it. But they didn't have allegations of that sort of thing that we ever talked about.
Well, if I go to move our court case forward, can you consider a possible scenario where you...
Okay, I will.
Not yet. Can you foresee a scenario in which you might be able to be cooperative and helpful?
Or what?
Can you foresee a scenario in which you could be cooperative and helpful in moving our court case forward? Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi. Did you hear me? I can't hear you. Yeah. Okay, so on your end, I understand that you're not being abused by your spouse, and you're not concerned about the negative effect this is having on your children. So I'm not really talking about from your point of view, right? Obviously, you have zero motivation to do what I'm talking about doing.
You are making statements about me that are false, and saying that I have no concern what impact this has on your children, which is incorrect.
What?
I think that you're making statements about me that are false. You're saying that I have no concern on the impact that this has on our children, which is incorrect. And you're saying that I have no concern
about
being abused. And that I would like to point out that since we've had, finally, two sessions of couples counseling, which is what's been recommended, and your allegation of abuse against me, during those sessions, it was pointed out to you that your allegation of abuse was not actually accurate.
No, that's not true. That's not true.
Deserve exploring.
That's not true.
You accused me of gaslighting you, and were
exactly. I was
by
not
a
saying
professional
that. But I did
that,
not
that
know.
Was not
it was
gaslighting.
A question.
Which
no,
is something
I did
that
not make
between us a lot.
I know, but you're lying right now. You're saying that I said, "Look, Matt, he's abusing me right now. This is gaslighting." And Matt said, "No, that's not gaslighting." But that's a complete misrepresentation, and this is part of what's dangerous about talking to you is that you take things and misrepresent them in a way that is distorting my character in a horrible way. I articulated the exact scenario, and I explained the extent to which I felt like we were talking about something that was factual, like happened or didn't happen. And I was explaining that I wasn't comfortable with the way that you were trying to frame it as being a matter of perspective. And I was explaining that it was confusing to be told that something's just my perception when I know that it has more to do with whether it happened or not. And so I said I kind of feel like it's like almost a form of gaslighting. And Matt
you
said
that I was gaslighting, and he pointed out wasn't an accurate characterization of what we were discussing.
You're changing it. I know, but you're changing it.
I'm not
changing. It's not fair for you to act like I was accusing you of gaslighting or saying that you were abusing me. As now evidence that, oh, every time Ewan thinks she's being abused, any professional would say, it's just not really that. Like, you Listen, but that was not an example of me accusing you of abuse, and that was not an example of me accusing you of gaslighting. So to say that I made an accusation and got negated by a professional is unfair. It's unfair for you to accuse me of having accused you when I wasn't accusing you. You have to take the context of it being an open and supposedly safe environment for me to have an analysis of how I was feeling about it. And you have to grant me that
space. That is, but it is there, and I want you to continue to experience that so that we can work through these issues.
Then you can't put it this way. You can't wait till 3 days later and tell me that I accused you of gaslighting and I was wrong. You can't do that if you want that to continue to be a safe place for me to say how I feel. I was not saying that this was an example.
I'm not accusing you of anything. I'm saying what happened in our therapy, and I think that we deserve to give that some time to play out.
But that one micro scenario where I used the word gaslighting is not in any way representative of the things that I actually feel like are a gaslighting problem in our marriage.
Well, it's only a micro example because we've only participated in two sessions.
It was not a micro example. I was not trying to. I know, but I
just called it a micro example.
I was not trying to use that as an example of the pattern of gaslighting in our marriage. I wasn't saying, oh, look, Matt, this is what he does. Oh, look, Matt, this is what I'm referring to when I say Dustin's gaslighting.
Nobody's saying that that's what you were doing.
So don't say that I thought you were gaslighting and I was refuted. I wasn't saying
that is
I
what
think
happened.
Dustin's gaslighting. No, it's not. It's not. I was explaining.
Well, at any rate, we've only had two sessions of couples therapy with a licensed psychologist, and I think that we owe it to ourselves and our marriage to take that a lot more seriously.
I'm taking it completely seriously, and I didn't owe you the first session. So don't talk to me that way when I'm doing what I'm doing for you. Don't talk to me that way. You're not entitled to ever speak to me again. You have no entitlement to me. I don't owe you anything, and you've not earned me. I'm giving you a lot of grace to talk to you on the phone right now, and I'm giving you a lot of grace to talk to you with Matt. And you don't deserve the grace. And it's not good for your children. It's not good for your children today. It wasn't good for your children on Thursday. It won't be good for your children next time.
Well, I think that it would be better for our children to have two functional parents that can get along with one another, and I think we have a chance of achieving that with psychotherapy.
I don't think that I have a chance of achieving that with you. But obviously, I am giving you a lot of grace that you do not deserve. And I need you to understand that you can't weaponize things like me talking about the difference between fact versus opinion. And
that's what I was talking about.
I know, but you're distorting that conversation into having something to do with my past allegations of abuse, and that's not fair. That's not related to my past.
I feel like it's fair because you alleged that I was gaslighting you, and I was talking about the difference between perception and truth.
I wasn't making an allegation in that moment.
But I feel like you're gaslighting me, and that the professional is not gaslighting.
Right, but I wasn't saying that it was.
Bring clarity to our conversation.
I wasn't saying that it was. I wasn't saying that it was.
You weren't saying that it wasn't. You were saying that it was.
I wasn't saying that it was.
I was talking about the difficulty
of having somebody try to, I was talking about the difficulty of having somebody try to convince me that things that actually happened are just my perception. I wasn't making a claim of abuse, and I wasn't making an allegation of gaslighting. And it's not fair for you to take the fact that I was in agreement with Matt that that wasn't really gaslighting. And I was pretty well in agreement with Matt that that wasn't really gaslighting even when I said it. You can't take that to say, oh, Aaron thinks things are gaslighting that aren't gaslighting. That's not fair.
I don't think that's why he felt
to use that conversation.
Illuminate what gaslighting is versus what's
in. Yeah, but I felt like it was a good conversation. But I don't think it was a conversation about whether you are abusive or not. It was a conversation about, okay, what's the right... No, I know, but I'm just saying we were in a constructive way all agreeing on a way to talk about and view the dynamic of discussing perception versus reality. That was something that we were doing that was constructive. And I don't he was having to correct me because I was wrong, and I don't feel like he was saying, oh, you're saying that you get abused, but you don't. I'm saying that we were trying to find a way to talk about a certain phenomenon, and I felt like we were doing that in a good way, and I'm really disgusted that you want to weaponize that against me now for you to make claims that you're non-abusive. And that's what tells me that these things aren't safe for me because of the way that you misuse them against me later. You're wanting to convince me.
Saying things that I didn't say.
No, you're wanting to convince me right now that you want to convince me right now that I made allegations that got shot down by a professional. And that, to me, that's a misuse because what you're asking me to do is question whether I'm able to recognize gaslighting when I see it or not. And I don't appreciate that. If you had been engaging in it and it was a clear-cut case, then I would have been able to say so, and I would have said so confidently. But that's not what that conversation was about in any way.
I think we need to give that.
No, you need to stop with the we need, okay? No, it needs to be, Aaron, I don't deserve to ever see you or speak to you again. And I would be humbled beyond belief if you would condescend to the level of talking to me with Matt again this week. That's what you need to recognize and feel in order to be safe for me. Because it's not something we need to do. It's not something that's best for our kids.
I think you're wrong. I think it is something that we need to
do. I can't hear you.
I think that is something that we need to do. I think it's something that we're scripturally
no, you,
I think
you
that
need
is
to do
what's best for our kids. And
No, for you, yes, but not for
I understand
for me.
That we have a disagreement about that, but it's
but
just my opinion. I don't expect you to have the same opinion.
I know, but I'm saying, in order for us to have a future together, you're going to have to get over your feelings of entitlement to me. And if you're justifying your feelings of entitlement to me by saying that I have an obligation to our kids to continue to subject myself to something that's destructive,
we have
to
a scriptural obligation
you have,
to save our marriage.
Right, but what you're doing in trying to save our marriage is, but what you're doing to try to save our marriage is damaging to your wife and your kids. You're not trying to save our marriage by going
away from
me.
That's true, then I am trying to fix that.
If you were going away from me and not speaking to me for 90 days and recognizing all of your sin on your own,
then I would say, oh, yeah, you're doing something that is honorable and that you're scripturally commanded to do. But if you're trying to justify everything that you've ever done and you're trying to convince me that I'm the problem and you're trying to tell me that I have some scriptural obligation to subject myself to that and you're telling me that no matter how much our kids are being harmed in this process, it's worth it because overall they're going to benefit from their parents being together without their father having to change. That is not.
I haven't ever said that.
Yeah, but you think that I have a scriptural obligation to continue to subject myself to emotional destruction at your hands. That needs to change fundamentally. Because you're going to continue to think that you're entitled to things in relationship that you are definitely not entitled to. You need to recognize that what you're getting from me right now is 100% grace and nothing that I'm obligated to give. And you, honestly, my expectation from, if I thought you were a godly man, right, for me to think, oh, this is a man who wants to please the Lord, is that I would not speak to you again until you spent at least 10 hours with Aaron. And that you feel like your relationship with him is stable and you feel like your relationship with him has genuine mutual trust and you feel like your relationship with him honors God and you feel like he's made up to you for anything that he hurt you with and you feel like you can verbalize to him the things that have hurt you and then back in the other direction. Like a man after God's own heart would prioritize those over wreaking havoc on his wife and children everyday life. A man after God's own heart would prioritize that over making demands that his wife has a scriptural obligation to do what is emotionally destructive to herself and a scriptural obligation to do what is emotionally negligent of her children's day-to-day needs. You're not a man after God. You're a man after your wife. And your pursuits are wrong.
I'm fine with...
Your pursuits are sinful.
What's that?
Your pursuits are sinful. It's selfish of you to be weaponizing this scriptural obligation in order to get me to do things that are damaging to me and the kids. When you're not willing to...
I mean, the only thing that I'm trying to get you to do is see a psychologist with me, and I disagree that that's damaging.
I'm doing that, and it's something that you should be grateful that I'm stooping to the level of. But to say to me that I have a scriptural obligation to it, no matter how much harm I see coming to myself and my kids, is not a godly way to speak to me. It's selfish. It's entitled. Are you making those same demands of Aaron Bell? Because God has the same expectations for your other relationships. It's not that you get to be a jerk to everybody in your life, but only this one person has an obligation to continue to subject themselves to you, whereas everybody else can just stay away and you never have to make restitution. It's a right thing to be pursuing in peace in all of your relationships.
Well, I agree with that. I was already contemplating how to approach a possible future relationship with Aaron, though. So
yeah, but it's scary that you're doing it as a bridge to get to me.
I'm not doing it as a bridge to get to you.
Okay.
I want want you to be happy.
I would be happier with someone else.
I hope someday that will not be true. That hurts me to hear that, but...
You don't feel that way?
That I'd be happier with somebody else?
No, that I would. But you can't imagine me with another man who... Who would never tell people that he had the block my phone number because I was complaining and didn't want him to go to the lake.
I missed what you said.
Like a man who would never go and tell people that he needed to block my phone number because I was complaining that he wanted to go to the lake and have a day off of fun.
That's not. I've never said that to anybody. I told them I blocked your number because I didn't want to argue with you about my decision to go to the lake overnight. So,
can you imagine there was a man who wouldn't say that?
It's hard for me to imagine that I did that. So,
but you did to Aaron.
To answer your question, earlier on in this process, I thought that...
Like, you did it. You do things like that all the time to me.
I don't do things like that all the time to you.
You do. A terrible assumption that I'm not going to act honorably towards you. By not letting me see the papers that you were about. Can you imagine me with a different man who's like CA, who just, if I say, can I see what you're going to shred, he hands them to me and then gives me a hug and says, good luck making sense of them. They're not even accurate, but...
I'm sorry, I didn't show you those papers.
If you want me to explain it to you, I'll try, but it's mostly gibberish. Like, I know, I'm just saying, like, can you imagine me? I'm talking about, like, me. Like, look at me and who I am and what you know about me as a woman and as a mom and as a wife. It's just imagine what my life would look like if there was a man in my life who behaved honorably towards me. Can you not imagine what I would look like?
I think earlier on in this process or whatever, I would have thought that maybe you would be happy with somebody else. But now, I'm not so sure about that. But regardless of that, regardless of your feelings, I'm obligated to make myself into a good husband for you and to lead you well.
But it's not about my feelings. I'm saying, can you imagine
your feelings.
So can you imagine somebody
talking about me
who doesn't do those overtly aggressive, sinful things toward me?
I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about me.
I'm talking about having a man in the household who doesn't sin in those ways.
Okay, well, that's what I'm talking about, too.
I don't think that I would be happy with that.
I'm not sure.
Why?
I don't know.
You think there's something wrong with me?
I don't know. I think a lot of our arguments are based on
overt sins that you're committing and intentional distortions of the facts to benefit your own case.
If that is true, I wish that I could see those more clearly.
You don't see that you came over here on Easter and wouldn't let me see papers that you wanted to shred, and then told other people that I had an agreement with you, but then all of a sudden want demanded and snatched.
Right.
You recognize that other men don't do those things to their wives. Do you not recognize that if I was with a man who didn't do that kind of thing to his wife, then I wouldn't have that kind of thing happening in my life, and I wouldn't have to be having arguments about that kind of thing? I'm not causing that. I didn't do an unusual thing for a woman. I didn't behave dishonorably as a woman. I'm being faithful and good, and all I can continue to point out to you is that these arguments should not be happening. It is not a wife's place to criticize her husband. It is not a wife's place to tear her husband down. It is not a wife's husband to talk badly about her husband. You need men in your life to do that so that I can be the one who's here building you up and talking positively of you and supporting you and pointing out your good qualities and having a life with you. And I can't have a life with you when I'm the one who has to point out these egregious sins. I can't have a life with you when CA takes an hour out of his life to point out these egregious sins, and then you turn around and you ignore everything that he told you. And you tell me in a counseling session the same tired story about having an agreement and already having the accurate data and things that CA already told you did not hold water. If you were listening to the wise others that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you through, then we wouldn't be having any arguments. And you know what? Aaron's or my perception would not even come into play. It wouldn't matter what my perception is. It wouldn't matter what my hurts are. It wouldn't matter what my version of past events is. It wouldn't matter if I remembered it the same as you remembered it. None of that would matter because you wouldn't be having these conversations, because you would be listening to the Holy Spirit speaking through wise other people in your life. That's how he wants to correct you, not through your wife. And you want me to imagine that I'm the one who has a problem with conflict. But I'm saying, put me in a relationship with a man who doesn't do, put me in a relationship with a man who doesn't do these things, and the arguments don't even happen. And my perception isn't even a factor. I'm just really, really bothered by you right now saying you couldn't be happy with another man because you're the problem. Look at our conflict. Look at your perception. If you were with a man who was as perfect as C.A. McDonald, you'd still have a problem because of your problem spirit and your problem conflict. Like, that is disturbing to me, and it makes me really question your ability to recognize the overt sins that you are committing.
Well, I didn't say that, but...
Then you would recognize that what you have is a valuable jewel of a woman, and you would
recognize that
a man who
properly wouldn't be doing this. I would not be doing this if I didn't.
Then you would not hesitate to affirm that I could have happiness in a relationship with a godly man. There would be no hesitation to answer that question.
That.
I'm 100% positive, Aaron, you would be happy with somebody else if he was somebody who treated you as well as you deserve to be treated. And there's not many men on the face of this planet who are capable of treating you the way you deserve, because you deserve something that's so high and unattainable. But if you could find him, and if he existed, I know you'd be happy, because you have so much to give, and you have so much grace, and you're so forgiving, and you're so gentle, and you're so long-suffering, and you're so patient, and you're so kind, and you're so giving. Like, I see you, and I see all your actual attributes, and I know that they contribute to a functional, healthy marriage, and I know that the sickness has been on my end. Like, that would give me hope.
I think I have done a lot that is damaged. If it doesn't work between us,
I can't hear you. What'd you say?
I said that I believe that I am
I can't hear you. You're cutting out.
I said that I believe that I've done a lot that's damaged both of us, and that if it doesn't ever work out between us, I hope that you do find happiness with somebody else, and that I haven't done damage to you that
not possible. But what the part of that that gives me zero hope for you? Is that...
What's wrong with Simon?
He's getting tired. Oh, he's actually trying to take a book. He's trying to take a book away from Sam.
But every time he runs up... Every time he runs up to Sam to grab the book, Sam sticks his foot out. Which even though Sam's not kicking, it has the result of a kick because Simon's running so fast into him. But he keeps doing it.
He keeps doing it.
Yeah. So, what's problematic right now is that you have such a wild imagination that you've damaged me, that there's something wrong with me, that I'm now contributing to dysfunction, or that I would carry that dysfunction into a new relationship, and that's not healthy for you. That's not healthy for you to not recognize that all the dysfunction is set on your end and continues to be on your end. Not healthy for you to think that this conflict between us is somehow caused by me or I'm contributing to the argument. None of that's healthy for you or helpful to you in making the reforms you need to make.
I'm sorry, I'm just... trying to lay out the truth as I understand it and take feedback.
No, you're not taking feedback. You're not taking feedback. You've completely isolated. You've completely, like you just said, you just said that 3 out of 4, 75%, you haven't even spoken to since you got out of Honey Lake. There's no
you're
way
utterly
you can represent. That's not
actually,
true. That's not
yes,
true.
It is.
They're on their knees crying tears for your repentance. They're praying that you will come to them.
No.
They're crying for you. They are strongly desiring of you to make that step. But you can't make any claim that you have some desire to be accountable to other people so that we don't have to have this conflict come up between us. That you can't represent that.
I can be accountable to them on issues of right and wrong. They can't.
But it was wrong for you to do what you did on Easter. And see, I went through the trouble. See, I went through the trouble of taking the time with you, and you did not heed him.
That's not true.
You did not. Yes, you went into our counseling session, and you made the same tired arguments to Matt that you had just made to CA. You
those
made all
arguments.
Those
I just told what happened.
No, you were justifying your behavior. You were minimizing its effects on your wife and your children, and you were trying to blame me for your behavior. You did not take what CA told you to heart, because if you had, you would have entered the conversation with Matt Borer saying the same thing you're saying today. You would have entered the conversation with Matt Borer saying, I did some stuff on Easter that was really, really damaging, and I don't even feel like I've properly apologized yet, but CA helped me to see that I was being selfish and that I was letting fear of having a conflict with my wife drive my behavior, and that doesn't justify me putting hiding papers over my relationship with my wife. Those are the only words you would have said to Matt about it. You wouldn't have said to Matt six times, we had an agreement, and I tried to plan my day around it, and it messed up my day. None of those things would have been said if you were actually taking the counsel with CA. And that, in addition to you haven't repaired your relationships with the other 75%, tells me that
you understand that they haven't repaired their relationship with me either. They're not interested in communicating with me.
That's not true.
They would have said, we heard you're suicidal. How are you doing now? Like,
No. You being suicidal doesn't obligate them to put themselves in harm's way.
I'm not saying that obligates them. I'm just saying that they are
right.
uninterested.
So you can't,
they have not done it.
They're very interested.
I've got
interested,
no...
But the relationship doesn't begin with them offering you an unconditional expression of concern and sympathy, no matter what you're doing to harm them. Like, repairing the relationship begins with you.
There's no condition involved. I'm just saying that.
But you have to repair.
They have no interest.
That you've done to them. You have to repair.
Actually, I haven't done any harm to them. How have I harmed them?
You should find out. That should be a priority. Not getting on the phone to get me to make accusations for you to defend yourself against.
Okay. Well, I will reach out to them. I am interested
in hearing
what they have to say about that. I am.
Yeah. You understand that you're not actually using CA's advice in a constructive way right now. He tells you were wrong on Easter, and then you turn around and harm me with it further. Like, you knew when we had that counseling session, you already knew that what you had done was destructive to our relationship. And you knew that minimizing, denying, and blaming was not going to repair the damage that you did on Easter. That you did it anyway, which caused further harm. So for any of them to think that giving you advice is not a good idea, I completely get how they would get there.
Okay. I mean, advice is one thing. I'm more just talking about ignorance or concern with anything about me. I have to nod.
That you're not a safe person to talk to.
There's nothing unsafe about talking to me.
Well, being in relation with you right now, Dustin, for anybody, requires the person in relation with you to be pointing out sin in your life. That's what a relationship with Dustin Dufault is right now. They can't be with you and just pretend that what you're doing is not wrong. So you have to be a safe person to be in relation with. Which means that you have to be a person who it's safe to come to and say, I see sin in you. You need to look at this selfishness. I see sin in you. You need to reevaluate your work schedule. I see sin in you. You need to be not saying that your wife ran you over in the church parking lot. I see sin in you. You need to not be filing things with the court that says that your wife is putting her wants above the children's needs. I see sin in you. You need to not be arguing and harassing your wife about the schedule with your children. I see sitting here, maybe you need to go get a psychological evaluation. Like, people have to be able to say that to you and know that those things aren't going to be used against them, that you're not going to go to people they've never even met who don't have the advantage of knowing their history and knowing their reputation and knowing their character and tell those people that they're inappropriately wielding their authority in destructive ways without any concern for anybody's well-being. If that's what you're going to do with people saying, I see sin in you, then you're not an okay person to come to and say, I see sin in you, which means that you're not a person that can have
a... I can get along with them. I'm totally willing to do that, so long as when they say, I see sin in you, they can back it up with actual things that have happened and actual scripture that shows that something's right or wrong.
And if you're going to make a generalization, if they don't back it up with anything I've actually done, they don't back it up with anything to show it's scripturally right or wrong, they don't back it up with anything, okay, you're just affirming that you're not a safe person to be around because you're going to represent that they didn't point out specifics when they did. You're not a safe person to be around because you're going to claim that they
didn't point out
scripture when they did.
No, not point out specifics.
Aaron, no, he had his Bible all the time, and he used specifics all the time. And I'm an eyewitness to him using specifics, and I'm an eyewitness to him using his Bible.
Right. However, we don't need to argue.
I'm an eyewitness.
But
I'm an eyewitness. I'm an eyewitness.
Yeah, you're an eyewitness, which means that you are...
Now, Ted wasn't there. So if you tell Ted he would never say specifics, Ted's not going to know that he used specifics. If you tell Ted he didn't use the Bible, Ted's not going to know that he did use the Bible. So you're going to people who don't even know him and telling things about his method of pointing out sin that are not true about his method of pointing out sin. You are not.
I think he makes a lot of cognitive errors in taking his perceptions and equating them with...
Okay,
right,
wrong. You can say to Ted, he takes a lot of his perceptions and equivalents them with right versus wrong, and Ted can go, okay, we're talking about a pastor who takes his own perceptions.
I mean, that's a very common cognitive error, so I think that for a non-psychological professional, it would be very easy and understandable for him to be doing that. It's just
absolutely
problematic
so
when he assaults my mental health on that basis
all these things to Ted would point to an extremely irresponsible pastor. And that's fair because Ted never met him and Ted wasn't an eyewitness and Ted wasn't in the room. So this is something that we see very commonly. Yes, I know this type of pastor, but I was an eyewitness, so you can't get it past me. I know he didn't actually take his perceptions and equivalent them with right versus wrong. I know that you actually were sinning against me.
Except that
literally
in our second session, some of that had to be ironed out, which is totally understandable. That's why you have professionals involved.
That's fine. You can go to as many professionals as you want. But no matter how many professionals you go to, that doesn't mean that Aaron Bell was using his perception as right versus wrong on things that were not right versus wrong.
It doesn't mean that, but he was
still
doing it.
Sorry, it doesn't. But he wasn't, and I know that because I'm an eyewitness. And
I think
you're
that
not a
your
safe person for,
analysis...
You're not a safe person for Aaron Bell to interact with when you're going to go and give misanalysis to third parties. Not Aaron Bell's
I'm
fault.
I'm not going to do that.
But you're not a safe person. You did. It's not Aaron Bell's fault.
You're
not
right,
a safe
I did,
person
because... He was utterly uninterested in how I was doing and did not reach out to me to find out.
No,
I interacted with third parties without him.
No, he's literally interested in how you're doing and would do anything for your benefit. But it's not beneficial for you to get unconditional relationship with him and all the benefits of somebody showing caring compassion for you when that's a person that you're willing to malign and misrepresent. Just like with me. It is not therapeutically beneficial for you to continue to receive compassionate care, loving kindness from me when you're going to take things that I say to you and go misrepresent them to other people or even misrepresent them to me against myself at a later date. you're not a safe person to be in communication with, and it's not beneficial for you to have the illusion that you're entitled to unconditional communication just because people care about you, and we all do.
I'm actually interested in hearing what Aaron Bell has to say, so I'm going to pursue that. It would be beneficial to me if you would condescend to our weekly therapy
sessions.
That's
what I'm doing, but I'm not sensing any appreciation on that.
I do appreciate it. I think it's giving us some hope of trying to work through this.
Okay, I did not feel hopeful about after either one of our sessions.
I know.
I was very, very discouraged by your misrepresentation. I think your thinking is very distorted. And you need to understand that as a therapist, Matt works within your thought distortions.
Yes, but when you refer to thought distortions, what you're really describing is the difference between one person's perception versus another, and the problem that I think he probably sees is that you refer to the difference between your perception and mine consistently as mine being distorted and yours being perfect, and I don't think that that is necessarily healthy.
I think that we are having to pretend that your perception is valid in order to work around it. That doesn't mean it is valid. It means that, okay, we've got somebody who thinking is just not going to ever make sense to the rest of the world. How do we work within his illusion for his kids not to turn out completely screwed up? And that's why you appreciate a therapist.
It makes me sad that that's your view of me.
I
don't think that any of the psychological professionals I've interacted with think that my view and sense of reality is as far
right, because
distorted as what you think it is.
Because they don't have a drug test, did they? None of them took a drug test.
Well, we actually all took a drug test.
I mean to compare what you're saying to what actually occurred. So when you talk about the psychological professions,
I think that's the benefit of dealing with a professional, because although you can't do what you're describing, they do have some heuristics involved in dealing with personalities to be able to detect some of that, and they seem to represent that they have a fair high degree of confidence in their ability to do that. I have no idea what the efficacy is of their, like, independent ability to deal with that, but they seem to be very confident that that I don't have that type of problem. What's that?
That's not what the forensics say. According to the forensics, their ability to just pick up on it intuitively is pretty poor.
The forensics? Are you talking about Dr. Copper?
Your forensic report shows that.
Well, that's got a rule out diagnosis, so there's no actual conclusion drawn on that report.
There is, regardless of whether your rule out diagnosis.
I was going to ask Dr. Kopp actually to try and reread that data and to maybe read the statistics in such a way to specifically figure out if I have a propensity towards distortions or lying, and if you could elaborate and or illuminate some more on that specifically, which I think he probably owes me since he gave me such an abbreviated report.
I'd be curious about that.
Well, it's not going to pick up on lying.
It's actually got statistics built in specifically for that. To
lied on the test, yes. But not whether you're a person who's lied in real life.
Well, yeah, but I mean, one would lead to the other, naturally. That's how they view it, I'm assuming.
Do you think that you don't have OCPD?
What's that?
Do you think that you don't have OCPD?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to figure out. But,
I know, but
does that even have anything to do with lying? Because I don't think that that was a characteristic of it that I could tell.
That's what I'm saying. None of the forensics is meant to pick up on the behavior of lying. That's a behavior. Perfectly, perfectly sane, reasonable, nothing wrong with them people choose the behavior of lying. So that's not something that's in question psychologically. But the
I think I'm going to rely on a professional for those types of questions, because I think that between the two of us going back and forth, it's just not working.
But recognize that the professionals are not concerned with the truth as much as they're concerned being able to function. No. They want you to be able to function. That's even what your therapist...
That's not true. Dr. Kropp is a forensic psychologist. The entire point of his practice is to figure out the truth.
He's not the one I'm talking about.
Well, that's who I'm talking about. That's who
I'm
going to speak with.
He's not a therapist for you. I'm talking about your therapist. Your therapists are concerned with helping you function in this world.
Well, yeah.
So whether I snatch the papers from you is not of concern to them. You perceive that I snatched the papers, so that's what they have to work with. They're not going to convince you when they weren't even there that your wife didn't snatch the papers. I know I did. I'm just saying they're not concerned with what happened. They know that they have to work within the framework of what you believe happened. And that's why you find it so appealing and so helpful, because you've got people who are willing to believe you and willing to help you within the framework of what you perceive happened. So that's the same for Ted and Nathan.
I spent all of my time trying to convince them to believe you, to take your view, to help me see it your way. I'm not trying. I've got no interest in going back to our old life, quite honestly.
Okay. So I don't know which of the criterion for OCPD you think doesn't apply to you.
What about it?
Which one of the criterion for OCPD do you feel does not apply to you?
I'd have to go back and look at it again. It's been a while.
Okay. You remember thinking that they don't apply?
I remember thinking some of them seemed like they could, and some of them I wasn't too sure about.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't we look at, like, the wrong data anyway?
No.
Seemed like you ended up deciding that what we looked at wasn't accurate.
No, I thought I specifically said, look at DSM-5. Because it's even more like you than DSM-4. And so you looked at DSM-5 based on my telling you to.
No, you're probably right. I don't remember.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are you telling me you know for sure if I reach out to Aaron, he wants to talk to me? Because I was not getting that impression based on their behavior.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But I think that the purpose of that reaching out, though, is to figure out what you need your attempt of in relation to him. And to make it clear that
that you don't have any intention of using your relationship with him to try to get to me, and you don't have any intention of trying to, give you advice relative to me, but your intention needs to be to figure out how you sinned against him, because you actually care, because you have the Holy Spirit in you.
Okay.
You see the difference?
Yeah.
If you just go to him and say, well, my wife says that she needs to be part of my team for Men of Peace, so you have to be part of my team for Men of Peace. So,
you don't have to do anything. I don't think anybody has to do anything, ever.
Right. I'm just saying, if you think that he's not engaging with you enough, it's because he doesn't want to engage with you within that framework, within a framework of you trying to use him to get your wife back without being willing to repent for ways that you've sinned against him. So the approach is a humble spirit of actually being, like, you were so sure that you didn't sin against me on Easter. You were so positive. And I told you, and you were still so positive. And CA told you, and you were still so positive. When we first talked today, you're still so positive. Well, it turns out you did sin against me on Easter. So if people feel like you've sinned against them, it makes sense to approach them with an open heart and a humble spirit, willing to actually think about what effect your behavior had on them.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Bye.
Aaron, I love you. Sorry.
I'm not sure if you know what that means.
I know that you're not. But I care about you and I miss you. I hope you have a good day.
All right, bye.